God is good all the time. Amen. Just give me a little more juice on this mic, if you don't mind, brother, because I want to just give it all I got tonight. Amen. So I got up one morning on March the 5th, 1991, and it was a Tuesday, I believe. 1991, that was a year, and it was many years ago. Amen. Let's see, what was that, 26 years ago? And I had I was at East Carolina University, and a friend of mine said, let's go out to revival tonight over at the Greenville Church of God. And Michael Warrick was preaching. And Michael Warrick back in that day was a fireball, and I haven't seen him in years. And powerful. He preached in Rocky Mount. I was living in Rocky Mount, but at that time he was at the Greenville Church of God. And so I had visited the Greenville Church of God my freshman year, many services. And I don't mean this wrong, Pastor Jerry, but when I was a freshman at East Carolina, there was the First Pentecostal Church, and there was Greenville Church of God. And I don't mean this wrong, but the Greenville Church of God was really more on fire running the aisles. And I love our folks at Greenville First. Amen. So if anybody's watching live stream, I got many friends there. But in that day, it was just go to Greenville Church of God if you want to have church. Amen. And so I had gone several times in my freshman year, but this was my sophomore year, and we had dinner at K&W, and I remember us, we were just a tad late, but we walked in, and I saw this lady sitting up in the choir, and she had this long brown hair, and I couldn't tell if she was my age or a little younger or maybe a tad older, and I just got to looking at her. She just glowed, and I was thinking, I've never seen this lady. She's in the choir, so she's part of the church. Like, I've never seen her. And I'm going to tell you, I was looking at her. I promise you I was. And I was worshiping the Lord, too, but I was looking at that woman up there. And so after the service, I noticed she went to the altar, and the evangelist prayed over, and she passed out in the spirit. And I thought, well, maybe she's married. I just didn't know who she was, never seen her before. And I asked a couple of people, I said, who was that lady up in that choir there? And this is 1991, you know. I was just 20 years old. And they're like, I don't know. And I saw her over on the other side of the church, and I knew that there was a couple other people that I couldn't find anybody to tell me who she was. And so here's what I did. I said, you know what? I'm going to have to find out myself. So I marched right on over there, and she was picking up her Bible, and I walked up and stretched out my hand, and the rest is history. March the 5th. 1991, the day. I remember the day. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day I met my future wife. See, I didn't know that day when I got up that I would meet the woman that I would marry. Amen. And we got married 4 years later, 1994. And I've drug her all over the world, and Nakina and Kinston and down east and up east. And we've been to Texas and all kinds of places. And I can say the Lord has been faithful. And if you're young and you're praying about your future spouse, I want you to know what Brother Bird told me. He said, God is more interested in who you marry than you are. And I was pretty concerned about it. Amen. But thanks God. When y'all were singing that song tonight, I remember the day. I thought, man, I remember the day. You want to say anything about that? Tell your side. Come on. You got to do it on live stream. Brother Baker get a zero in on this. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if she's going to cry or what. Tell us your side, and then I'll get to preaching, I promise. Is it all right if we have a little, you know, somebody might need to hear this story. Amen.
I remember.
Cut her up.
I was in the choir, and we were singing. I had just started attending back in January. I had the previous semester, the fall semester, I had commuted back and forth from my home in Goldsboro to Greenville. And it was too much. I was working full time. And so we actually had the opportunity to transfer my job at JCPenney's to the Greenville store. And the Lord opened the door for me to assume the payments on a mobile home for home ownership. And so I actually moved to Winterville. Well, that's when I started attending Greenville Church of God. And I had never seen Ricky until the day he walked in that night. And I remember distinctly. I remember distinctly.
You remember. That's good looking.
The polka dotted.
She was checking me out, guys.
The polka dotted socks, and I think the other fellow was wearing a polka dotted tie. And I thought, oh, Lord, who are these two cats coming in? And at that point in my life, I had gotten to the point where I was frustrated with dating. I was like, Lord, if I need to be an old maid for the rest of my life, then that's how it will be. Because I want the right one. And if he's not, if you don't have one for me, then fine, then this is how it'll be. And I came to that part of resolution in my life that if it was just me and Jesus for the rest of my life, it was going to be okay. It would not be the end of the world. And so I
want that whole thing.
I
was determined to get married. I'm telling you.
Sometimes when you're dating, sometimes guys have, it seems like that their two arms become eight. And that can, give you situations or put you in situations that you don't want to be in. And so I had become very frustrated with dating and had determined that I was not going to go out again. Well, after the service, I turned around and went to pick up my Bible and put on my coat to leave because it was in early March and it was still cold out. And he came over and introduced himself. And everything was okay until he mentioned, oh, is your brother? And I thought, that's it. End of discussion. He knew my brother, and I love my brother. But I thought, oh, Lord, that's a problem. That's a problem. He knows my brother, that's a problem. So, but we were able to work it out, and the Lord did a good work in both of us and is still doing a good work in both of us. We have a lot of growing up to do because we're still kids. Praise God. But he's doing a marvelous work in us, individually and together.
That was good. Would you stand with me tonight? I remember the day. Amen. I want to tangent off of Pastor's sermon this morning, message. And I want us to go to Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4. Brother Blue, I don't know, were you able to get the outline punched in for the sermon tonight? Okay. Yes, amen. So this is, when the pastor preached this morning, I thought about this message that I had preached years ago. And so I want to tangent off of this. And Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4, I want us to read that together. If you're there, say amen. Let's read it together. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the last word on backsliding. Now, Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word of God. Thank you for those wonderful testimonies. Lord, I do personally thank you for 26 years ago meeting my future wife at a revival. Lord, I thank you, God, for the future. I thank you, God, for this church. And I just pray tonight that whoever's listening to this message now or later or in this service tonight, God, will hear the last word on backsliding. Father, we give you the praise as I decrease and you increase. And may the word of the Lord have free course tonight, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty, and God bless you. Amen. The last word on backsliding. Don't forget, Craig Stone will be here next Sunday. I hope and pray that this crowd next Sunday, some of these people that need to be here that aren't here on Sunday nights, I want you to zero in on them and tell them, be there or be square. Amen. So just tell them what a blessing they're going to. I think when they hear Brother Craig on Sunday morning, they'll want to be back Sunday night. Amen. But if you were to do a word search in the Bible, and the word backsliding is found 14 times in 14 different scriptures. Now, I'll never understand why there are some churches that don't preach you can backslide. 14 times. And the scripture that I read to you this evening actually turns out to be the last place that you find the word backsliding at. So of all the 14 times, what we read from tonight is the 14th mention of the word backsliding. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of God's last word on backsliding. Because when you realize that in this text is God's last word on backsliding, I couldn't help but notice the grace in this scripture, the hope in this scripture, the love that we feel. Because if we would be very honest with ourselves, there's not anyone here tonight, not anyone listening by live stream, not even those who are credentialed clergy, that in some way, sometime, or in some manner, that we have all dealt in our own personal life with this issue of backsliding. And this ties right into the message this morning. No matter what position you hold in the church, doesn't matter how many years. I've seen people serve God for 40 years and then backslide. Doesn't matter if you were saved last week or if you were saved last year. We all deal with this thing called backsliding. Now, it reminds me of a lady whose husband had gone out for a while, and she was at home listening to the radio. Now, the announcer came on the radio and told the people to be very careful. Someone had gotten onto the wrong side of the highway, and so she was listening to the radio. She heard the announcement. Somebody's driving on the wrong side of the highway. She thought about her husband was out there on that same highway. So she picked up and called her husband and said, "Honey, you need to be careful because I just heard on the news that on the highway you're on that somebody is coming down the wrong direction." And you know what her husband said? Her husband said, "Wait a minute. There's not just one person coming down the wrong direction. There's 100 people coming the wrong direction." Now, I don't care how good you are, and you don't intend it, and we don't plan it, but we might be like Peter and say, "I'll never deny you." But every now and then, we find ourselves headed down the wrong direction. So what are we to do? How do we to handle this? What is the answer? What is the solution? And so I want to come to you tonight with the message of grace. I don't want you to think that this is a condemning message, because we serve a God who is a God of love and compassion. He's more willing to forgive. He wants you to come back so you can get back what you have. He is the God who broke the clay and made it all over again. He's the God that said to Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And in our text tonight, we say it's not you that has the last word, or your ex-wife that has the last word, or or the boss that fired you that gets the last word. God has the last word on backsliding. And He reclaims the backslider, and He calls us back to Holy Ghost fire, and He says, "I don't care how far you've drifted, I don't care how bad you feel, your own conscience condemns you, but your own conscience doesn't have the last word. God has the last word on backsliding, and let's come back, and let's get back all that God has for us." Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Thank God for the last word about backsliding. If you believe it, say amen. The Bible says God will heal their backsliding. So this is a disease. Amen? So any disease has to be diagnosed. So I want to give you 3 things tonight. First of all, the description. So if you've got a disease, you got to describe, you got to figure out what is the problem here. When most people think of backsliding, listen to this. When most people think of backsliding, they think of someone who has totally dropped out of church. They tend to think, well, so-and-so's backslid because they don't ever come to church anymore. Can I tell you, from right on that nice, comfortable pew, you can be backslidden a lot. We think of people out there on drugs, alcohol, perhaps who used to be on fire. We think of the deacon who left his wife and children for another woman. But that's not always the case, because one of the things we need to realize at the outset of this message is that you are, if you, and some of you are thinking, oh boy, he's preaching on the backslider tonight. Man, go get it. No, I want us all to look at our own self tonight, because if you are today where you were yesterday, or months ago, or years ago, then to that point you have backslidden. Now, you might not have gone back into complete sin. You might not have completely abandoned the church. You might not have picked up Jack Daniels. But if you are today where you were a year ago, or 5 months ago, in a sense, you are on a backwards trajectory. We must be going ever forward. We must be getting more. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. Oh, somebody say amen here tonight. I have a quote here, and I don't know if the guys were able to get it on the overhead or not. I'm sure they might have, but if not, that's fine. But here's a quote here. It says, and listen carefully, if there was ever a time when you loved the Lord Jesus more than you love him at this moment, if there was ever a time, there it is, when he meant more to you, when prayer was sweeter to you, when worship was more real to you, when your service was more effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have backslid. If there ever was a time when Jesus was more real to you and worship more sweet to you and prayer that we seem to get away from is more dynamic to you, if there's ever been a time when it was greater and more real than it is now, then you have backslid. It's not always drinking. It's not always completely leaving the church. You know, that's really the final result. When we see somebody dropping out of the church, actually the backsliding started a long time before that. And we need to recognize, we need to diagnose this disease called backsliding. And I want to give you one passage. Go to Hosea 4 and 16. Hosea, here's a way to see if a symptom. It says, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer. Now, what is that description? You know how a heifer, and I don't know a lot about FMA and FBL. What's the school thing in the school where they do the Future Farmers of America? FFA. I wasn't in cattle and all that, so I had to do some research. But a heifer is a young cow that's never had a calf. And what they do is they put this young cow that's never had a calf, they put a yoke around its neck so that it can be productive. But, you know, that young cow that's never had a calf and got a lot of energy, that, understand through research, that heifer will, instead of go forward, instead of channeling that energy to be productive, will pull back and be stubborn and make a lot of noise and pull back. And you know, I've seen this over the years as pastor, when people ought to be jumping in, when people ought to be moving forward, advancing, they're really pulling back. They're pulling back on their commitments. They're pulling back on their tithing. They're pulling back. And notice, listen, it's not that you're out drinking and partying and doing drugs. You just kind of pull away. When you should be growing, should be doing more, you pull away. You put a do not disturb sign. That's one description of backsliding. It's the backsliding heifer that keeps pulling back. Another description is found in Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 8. It says, and the Lord appeared unto Moses and says, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves, for they have turned aside quickly. Say those words, turn aside quickly. And that's another description of backsliding. It's simply not only pulling back like a heifer, but you also turn aside quick. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, you can shout the victory tonight, run the aisles tonight, but tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, when the boss comes in and tells you something's wrong, buddy, whoop, you're quick, you're out of sorts. It's like you didn't even go to church. Are you with me? Yeah, things don't go just right, or you've prayed and you've prayed and you don't see an answer, or the church goes through a dry spell. Instead of hanging in there, instead of pressing in, we just kind of quickly give up. I'm going to quickly resign. I'm going to quickly do this. And you see, that's a problem because we as Americans, we want everything now. We are a microwave society. We serve a crock pot God, but we are microwave mentality. Can I get a witness? Amen. And then another way that describes backsliding is look at Hosea 7 and 9. Hosea 7 and 9 says, strangers have devoured his strength and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there. Watch those last three words. Yet he knoweth it not. Let me tell you something. I took a picture of myself when I began to pastor West Road. When I left Living Waters here and went to Kinston, I had a picture in 2004 of myself. 5 years later, when I resigned the church, somebody took a picture of me. And I put a picture of me in 04 and a picture of me in 09. And I had just completely gray hair in those 5 years. And you know what the deal was? I never noticed it. I didn't notice it. I just looked at my mirror every day. I thought everything was normal. It was not until I looked at the picture that I realized that I wasn't seeing something. And that's a description of backsliding. You know, sometimes you don't see day by day. And a good way is other people can actually see the gray hair coming, but you can't. Can I get away? That's why we need brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why we need a pastor. That's why we need a godly spouse and say, hey, you need to do something about that hair. It's getting a little gray. You better be careful. Careful, guys, when you do that, though. Are y'all with me tonight? It's not the frontal assault. It's not the flagrant temptation. A gray hair here, a gray hair there. Missing a church here. Not going to speak to so-and-so because of my little revenge here. Little thing. And before you know it, it begins to show and everybody sees it. But you begin to get touchy. The preacher says, gets right up your alley and you start blaming him or blaming me or blaming somebody else. But what it is gray hair is cropping up. Others see it. And you've got to realize that that is a description of backsliding. By the way, I don't have gray hair anymore. Have you noticed? You do? Well, see, I get baptized once a month. I go down and I come back up. I got to get to the remedy in just a minute here. But notice another description of backsliding. You see, the book of Hebrews talks about a lot about backsliding, but never calls it by name. Because God has the last word on it. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it talks about those once enlightened. It talks about those who tasted the good Holy Ghost. It talks about those who tasted the powers of the world to come. Hebrews 3 and 12, it talks about departing from the living God. The book of Hebrews mentions that thing of backsliding, though it never says it. But look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, this is a nautical term. This really means like a boat is tied to the harbor. Now, I pastored down at the coast for 3 years, and I got to see a lot of boats on harbors. And all you'd have to do is lift off the rope. That one little rope or two little, however many ropes it was, one or two would tie in. Just slip them off. And just, the boat would just slip. It just drift. And, it wasn't something major. It wasn't a bomb. It wasn't somebody with a gun. It just slipped. It just drifted. That word drift, that's the proper word, drift. You know, it's the way it is with backsliding. It doesn't start with a snort of cocaine. It doesn't start with a one-night stand. It's just you drift. You go a day without the word. You go a Sunday and think, I'll just not go to church. Or you kind of get away from Christian friends. And so that's a description of backsliding. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In other words, backsliding can also be described as letting something take root in your heart. Somebody mistreated you, some misdeed, some promotion you thought you should have got, some disappointment in God. And so it's a little thing, but it's a little thing that begins to grow and fester, and that is a form of backsliding. We commonly call that offense. Offense, where you get offended at people, offended at someone. And so this is something that we need to realize, that we don't need to let things get into our spirit. But listen, here's one, and I'm going to move on to the healing of it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Here's the most powerful description of backsliding. You know, it says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have what? Forgotten me days without number." Now, one of the descriptions of backsliding is that we go days, and days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months without praying, without talking to the Lord, without reading His Word, without staying vigilant, without harnessing our thoughts, taking every thought into captivity. And we just, one day slips into 2 days, 2 days slips into 3 days. And before you know it, and I'm telling you, you can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you can, well, I'll just go to church and get a feel. No, you can't. Listen, one day, every day, you need to put Jesus the first of your life. You need to talk to Him, walk with Him every single day. In fact, Jeremiah said, "Will a bride forget her ornaments?" Now, I've done hundreds of weddings in my ministry, and I can tell you one thing. When a bride shows up on her wedding day, I've never seen a bride show up and say, "Well, where's your wedding dress?" "Huh. Well, I don't know. I didn't think about that." Right? "Well, where's the flowers?" Or "where's the..." And you could ask the bride, "Well, you know, I should have thought of..." No, that bride on her wedding day, buddy, the dress is there, the preacher's there, the food's there, and she's not forget. And every single day, we cannot forget Him days without number. Every single day, amen. And be careful about that. Days without number. He said, "My people." He didn't say my people have committed fornication, though they did. He didn't say my people had worshipped idols, though that was a result of that. He didn't say my people have gone into some debauchery. He just said simply, "My people have forgotten me." Days without number. Oh, every day is important. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's the description. And I don't know about you, but it's just about hitting me upside the head. Amen. Because we all have to stay on top of this. I'm an ordained minister. I got ordained in the same year that we got married, in 1994. I was ordained. Bishop Donald Duncan laid his hands on me. T.E. Long and the conference board imparted the anointing upon me. I don't know if you were there in 1994 or not on that day. But praise God, I remember that day. But let me tell you, that was 20-some years ago, but I still need Jesus. And I need to keep the fire burning. And I need to keep my heart pure. And I need to stay close to God. And I've learned, the older I get, the easier it is for me to get upset and offended over little bitty teeny tiny things. And I refuse to backslide. I refuse to let that. I want to go on with the Lord. Anybody with me tonight? So that's the description. Now let's talk about the decisions. So what are you going to do to guard against this? What are you going to do to endure to the end? What are you going to do to continue to follow on to know the Lord? If we're going to win the war with the tendency to backslide, then we got to make some decisions tonight. And what are they? Well, let's go back through what I just talked about. Those five things that describe backsliding, let's talk about one of them at a time, individually. You just make a decision opposite. Are you with me? First of all, don't pull away. You remember the first description was a backsliding heifer and a heifer that pulls away. Well, don't pull away from the church. Don't pull away from prayer. Don't pull away from the cross. I know there's some price to pay. I know there's a cost to being a Christian. I know His yoke is on us, but He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, the yoke gets hard when you want to pull away. And by the way, you pulling away is only going to be bad for you in the long run. You might as well just let God lay His yoke on you and you just follow the Lord, and you don't pull back of worship, and you don't pull back of tithing, and you don't pull back of devotion. I wish somebody say amen out there. You don't pull back. That's going to be the thing that heals backsliding, is staying forward and moving forward and letting God guide your life. Can you say amen? Don't pull away and don't turn aside quickly. Just because there's a delay in answered prayer, don't quickly give up. Well, I quit. I give up. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Come on. Just because there's a listen. Just because there's a recurring struggle with temptation, I've counseled with young men over the years as a pastor, and they said, Pastor, I pray and I serve God, but I still deal with lust, I still deal with alcohol, I still deal with pornography, and I have fallen time and time again, and I'm just going to give up. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You don't easily turn aside. You don't quickly give up, because I'm going to tell you, He knows what we struggle with, and God has the last word, and He said, I'll heal that backsliding. Amen. And I will. You just keep coming back. Don't turn aside quickly. Just because somebody hurts you in the church, somebody didn't do right in the church, and oh, how sad it is when things go wrong. And by the way, church members, we need to behave ourselves in the church. You know, because you don't know, there's somebody that might be a weak Christian, and if they see you flare all up because the preacher didn't do something, they're going to look at you, and you may cause them to stumble. We're not to be a stumbling block to other people. We're to be a stepping stone. We're to be a light. And if the music's too loud, don't stuff cotton in your ears and fold your arms like that and give a scowl. You don't realize some precious soul may look at you. Now listen, if the music's too loud, there's a way to talk to us about it. It'll go in one ear and out the other, but talk to us about it anyway. I'm just kidding. Amen. Come on now. Church members, how many times has things we've allowed ourselves to not be a good example on things sometimes? Amen. Amen. You see, listen, I don't care if you do see things happen in the church. Don't give up quickly. You know, there were people, I remember a lady one time, she was just, she had just gotten on fire for God, and she was believing God for her husband, and long story short is, she just gave up. She just gave up. And I remember not too long after that, just a few months later, God sent some young men to the church who were single, and who had money, and who were praying for the right person. And I thought, if that other lady had just waited, you know what? She married that man, and to my knowledge, is not going to church at all today. And oh, she gave up too quick. Let's not give up quick, folks. Let's keep praying for our children to be saved. Let's keep praying for revival to come into the church. Let's keep praying that God will heal the sick body. And by the way, if He doesn't, I'm still going to praise Him anyway. Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not quitting. I'm not backsliding. Think about the children of Israel. They came to the Red Sea. And listen, they had already been delivered from that terrible thing called Pharaoh. Pharaoh was about to kill them. And God opened up the Red Sea. And buddy, they didn't walk in mud. They walked on dry ground. And to make things even sweeter, the Pharaoh came through, and God just pulled back, and they died. And the horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. Can you say amen? But after that, they had problems with irrigation. They didn't have quite enough water. And you know what they began? They turned aside quickly. They're like, we should have died back there. And this, let me tell you something. Right around the corner in Exodus, it says there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Go to Exodus 15 and 27. They were on the verge of the greatest miracle. And I'm here to tell you by the Holy Ghost that some of you are on the verge of the greatest miracle you have ever seen. By the way, this is a Bible and an iPad. You're on the verge of the greatest miracle you've ever seen. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you hang on to the midnight hour, and you pray if the darkest hour is says just before dawn, my God will show up and take you through the fire again. I wish somebody would give him a praise. If you're not going to quickly... Don't be spiritually clueless. You know what I mean by that? Keep a check on those gray hairs. So every day I go to the mirror now. I'm looking. Pulling back. Checking it out. Every day we need to go to the mirror of the Bible. Check it out. Is my attitude right? Is my spirit toward my spouse right? I mean, you can't be ill and cantankerous to your children and your spouse and husband or wife. Amen. I'm doing some good preaching here tonight. Oh, don't be spiritually clueless. I've seen some spiritually clueless people. Clueless. They do that. I get on Facebook and I see what people do sometimes. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're a child of the Most High God and you're doing that? You're going out with this? You're doing X, Y, Z? I ain't going to say it. I want to say it bad. But I know if I say it, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know why? Because they're clueless. Can I get a witness? They're clueless when they come into church and somebody got my seat. Would you move over, please? I mean, come on, you're clueless. Amen. Come on. You're clueless. You don't realize that there's gray hair there. Amen. Everybody sees it. And maybe the pastor's tried to talk to you about it, or maybe others talk to you about it, but you don't want to see it. Nobody likes gray hair. I mean, it's all right. Let me take that back quick. I am going to let it. Listen, I'm not going to be 80 years old still have black hair, I promise you. It's going to be gray one day. It's going to be gray one day. It's going to be gray one day. Yeah, just not now. Amen. But the thing is, folks, don't be clueless. Listen, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. When somebody falls out with me, I'm going to go first to me and say, now, honey, did I do something to really hurt them? That I'm going to look and say, Lord, like they did on the night, is it me, Lord? And there was an old song in the church that said, it's me, oh, Lord. Me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Folks, I ain't got time to cast the beam out of your eye when I've got the little speck in my own eye. I don't have time to judge people. I don't have time to be offended at people. I've got enough to do to make sure I stay on that straight and narrow, that I don't backslide, that I don't let a root of bitterness come up, that I don't pull aside quickly, that I go with the flow, get right in the middle of what God is doing. Give him a hand of praise. Amen. Don't let a root of bitterness. Some people are like porcupines. They got a lot of good points, but you can't get close to them. You better not let them run anything. You put them in charge of something, and they done got everybody hurt and messed up. You got to lead softly, amen, with people. Praise God. After 20 years of pastoring, I finally figured that out, amen. Don't drift. You know what the opposite of don't drift? The drift is be tied down. We're living in a day when people, I see it all the time. Well, I don't want to join the church. Why? Because I don't want to be tied down. Brother and sister, I'm so glad that on August the 4th, 1994, when I stood at the altar, I'm so glad my wife didn't come up and say, well, I don't want to get tied down. I'm so glad she said, till death, Noah, forsaking all, you better, amen, forsaking all others. I take that man in sickness and health, if he stays slim and trim, if he grows a little bit, if he does, right? My God, something about being tied down is a blessing. People say, well, marriage is, and that's another thing. People, listen, I'm not talking about the world out there. We've got so-called false Christians who are still saying, well, we can live together without being married. Got mighty quiet in here tonight. Well, preacher, it's just a piece of paper. You know what my answer to that is? Well, so was the Constitution of the United States was on a piece of paper. The Declaration of Independence was written on a piece of paper. The Magna Carta in 1066, or whenever it was, might have been 1066, that was the English conquest, but whenever the Magna Carta was written in England, that gave that took away the sovereignty of the king and put it into the hands of the people, that gave birth to democracy because of the great Puritans. The Magna Carta was also written on a piece of, and by the way, the Bible was written on a piece of paper. Brother, sister, that piece of paper means you're tied down. That means God will honor it. And until you get tied down, you're living in adultery. And if you die and you've not repented, you'll go from that adulterous bed to the flames of hell. Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but that's the problem. And we don't preach it hard. We don't preach it. We say, listen, I'll tell you, if you're living together, let me tell you something. I'm a preacher. We'll go down to we'll do whatever. I'll marry you free of charge. And I'll even let you use the church. Now, this is not my church, so I have to get permission from Pastor Jerry, but I'll pay the bill, bless God, because I'd rather keep them out of hell. Amen. We got to be radical. We got to preach that it's true. We're going to preach that they're sin. But let's also preach grace, that, hey, come on down to the altar. Get tied down in the church. Get tied down in your marriage. Get tied, wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. We'll keep you from backsliding. Well, preacher, I don't want to teach a class, because if I teach a class, that means I'm obligated. Exactly. We ever get the idea that non-obligation, no commitment, because I might have a bad day and might not want to show up. The showing up on a bad day is what makes people great. Do you think it's easy to get up every Sunday and pray, Pastor? Aren't you tired sometimes? Wouldn't you rather be down at the beach or up at the mountain somewhere? It's called commit. It's called surrender. My God, that will keep it. You want to be one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and Islam is rising, and ISIS is rising, and the gays are coming out of the closet, and we can't get commitment, and we can't get people to take one class. Oh, my goodness, we backslid. It's time to come back to God. And look at Deuteronomy 25, and I'm closing. Deuteronomy 25 says, remember what Amalek did to you by the way when you came out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost. He smote the hindmost of thee. So there was 3 million people, and there were some stragglers kind of hanging around, lagging around the back. Not really in step. But when you're hanging around the back, you become vulnerable. Amen. But let me tell you something. Don't straggle around the back. The safest place to be is right in the middle of what God's doing. I want my children right in the middle of church. I want my family right in the middle of God's work. I want my children to realize that there are unreached people groups in this world. I don't want my children to get every little thing they want on their Christmas list. I want them to get a few things that they really want, and one or two things that they might not get. Explain to them that, hey, there's children in the world that don't even have the things that you have. Let's take that money and give to a child overseas. And I'll tell you, teach that child very quickly. Because let me tell you, do you get everything you get in life? When you ask for listen, I got an 07 Lincoln. I sure would have loved to have a 2017. But I can't get it, Pastor. Not yet. I might get it one day. Friends, let's get right in the middle of what God is doing. Let's go back so we can get back. Amen. Let's do that. Don't go too many days without God. He said, you've forgotten me days without number. Oh, listen, tomorrow I have time with Jesus. If it ain't but 15 minutes. Tuesday, read Our Daily Bread. Read a scripture. Read your Bible through every day by day by day by day. On your job, in your home. You're not just a Christian at church. Be a Christian on your job. Witness to people. Invite them to church. Tell them when they complain about something, say things like this. Yeah, I agree with you. If they want for the Lord, I don't know what I'd do. See, right there, you've just been a witness. You've preached just as much as I've preached right then. Some people don't even know the Lord. You're a witness. That's another thing that'll keep you from backsliding, is witnessing to others. When you know people on your job are dying and going to hell. When you realize that students that come to our classes just like Jose. He's 15-year-old Hispanic. Are y'all with me tonight? Is this okay? 15-year-old Hispanic. His parents don't go to church. Obviously, they lived in Mexico, and they came to North Carolina. And whatever you think, they're here. And somebody in a faraway land called Mexico travels those long highways up Interstate 95, and they look for a place. They find a place called Wilson. They find a little trailer park called Baker's Court. They're just trying to work hard. They're not godly. They don't know the Lord, but their little boy, Jose, there's a van that comes down the path. He cut a boshakala masata. Westmoreland. Pentecostal Holiness Church. And picks him up and brings him. And he gets saved. And then he gets sanctified. And I believe at Youth Quest, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, was speaking in tongues. And of course, we all recognize he said in his heart, God has called him to preach. He may be the first Hispanic bishop of the North Carolina Conference. Be not weary in well doing. Don't fall back. This is not a time. God said, I love the sinner. I love the backslider. I died for. There's a world out there. Let's get right in the middle. Let's keep playing those musicians, those songs. Let's keep telling people about Jesus. Let's keep rescuing the perishing, as they used to say, and care for the dying. Let's not go many days. Let's tell people every day in every way till the nations know. I have always prayed, God, give me a ministry in a local church where the sun never sets. And I want from this pulpit that every time zone that we are touching some way, maybe through a missionary, maybe through a coffee house, maybe through just prayer intercession, but that the sun never sets, because the sun never sets on God's kingdom. Man, we should be doing something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the world. And if you have that kind of focus, you don't have time to backslide. I can't backslide. Listen, I'm a preacher, and I've been discouraged. When you've pastored for 20 years, and the last church I pastored, I had to leave. It was not by my choice. I did resign, and I probably could have got a very narrow vote, but what would have I had? A very divided church, because some were upset, some were not upset. And so I had to resign, and I could easily pastor Jerry, easily have just throat in the towel. I had been hurt at different places. We've all been hurt. I don't care where you go. Going to be hurt. But when I think about Jose, what can I tell Jose? What kind of example is that going to be to him? Well, Brother Ricky didn't make it in ministry. I better go out here and sell used cars or something. No, sir. I am in it to win it. And if I can't preach at that church, I'll preach at this church. Glory to God. And if I don't preach here, I'll go across the street and tell my neighbor about Jesus. Nothing is going to stop me. Glory to God. Except me. Amen. The Bible says, let the wheat and tare, let them what? Both grow together. Say, grow together. So while the wheat's growing up, the tare's growing up. You don't ever see the wheat saying, that tare over there is about to get on my last nerve, and I am so tired. And you don't see the wheat because of the tare. The tare's not stopping the wheat. Are you with me? The tear cannot stop. Nothing can stop you from growing and glowing and moving forward. And nothing can stop. You say, well, it's the certain political party is going to outlaw this. And last election, if so-and-so got elected, man, it's going to be the end of the world. And I promise you, there have been some consequences. But let me tell you something. I don't care who is in the White House. Nothing can stop us from being the church that God has called us to be. We are the army of the Lord. We are going forth with a shout and a sword and a two-edged sword. Can I get a witness? Is anybody here tonight going to get right in the middle of what God is doing? If you do, God will heal your backsliding. And I want to close with this. The descriptions, the decisions, and I want to give you, Brother Clark, if you'll come so we can play pretend that I'm quitting. The declaration that reclaims backsliders. There's not one of us that hasn't dealt with backsliding. And I don't care how far you fall, how much you falter, or how many times you've given in, I want you to know that God has the last word on it. He has the last word on it. And so many times we get discouraged, and the devil comes in. Oh, you backslid again. You talked ugly to your wife again. And she thinks you're a hypocrite. And you know you can't get up there and sing. And you know you don't need to go to church anyway. You know you just stay home. You know your friends out there treat you better than some of the church people. Uh-huh. That might be some truth into that. You know, you failed again. You know, it's all right. You know, you could just one little drink. Are y'all with me here tonight? The devil's speaking. And then when you mess up, the devil comes and says, you're a hypocrite. You know, you really aren't saved. You think you're serving God. But you just had road rage. You just told somebody off that you shouldn't have told them off. And so the devil jumps off. But let me tell you, the devil, he will speak to you when you backslide. But God has the last word. And he said, I will heal your backsliding. Oh, what about old Samson? You hit him this morning. Oh, my man Samson put his head in Delilah's lap. Not good. Unless you're married, you don't need your head in anybody's lap. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm here to tell you that Samson backslid. Yes, he did, Pastor. He backslid hard and fast. I'd never heard of the thought about the fact they took his eyes out and he won't ever able to see another woman again. And that might not have been a bad thing. But let me tell you something. That's not the end of the story. Because even with his eyes gouged out, God had the last word on backsliding. And Samson said, oh, Lord. He began to pray because God was dealing with his heart. God was saying, Samson, even though you are blinded, and even though you are grinding, Samson, I can still use you, son. You may have to die, but that's all right. I can. And Samson said to the young boy, give me the post of this temple. And so he pulled the post, and he defeated the enemy. He had the greatest victory of his life, because God's got the last word. I said, God's got the last word. Somebody lift your hand and praise him tonight. Old David backslid, didn't he? David backslid. Jonah backslid. Jonah backslid bad. He fled from the presence of the Lord, went on a ship the opposite direction. But God had prepared a fish because God's got the last word. And do you know that in the belly of the whale, he cried out to God. He said, Lord, please forgive me. What a fool I've been. Like the prodigal son. That's my next point. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, but let me tell you. When that whale vomited out Jonah, he ran to Nineveh. Did you know the Ninevites worshiped the fish? And you know, word travels. Even before cell phone, word travels and in fact, this is how I kind of picture it. Dad and his son were fishing, and all of a sudden this whale comes, and whoop, here comes this man running alive. And I can see that boy outrunning him, and him telling another, and then they tell another. And before Jonah could get there, they were waiting. The fish God has sent us a prophet. But it wasn't the prophet from the fish god. It was the prophet of the Lord who, by the way, was a backslider. Oh, glory to God. Are y'all with me here tonight? And 150,000 people got saved in that one revival at Nineveh. Did you know only 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost? But 150,000 got saved when Jonah, who backslid. I said, God has the last word on backsliding. Can you give him praise here tonight? Peter. He denied the Lord, but Jesus had the last word on backsliding. John Mark went with Paul and he backslid. But somebody said, no, I'm going to give him another chance. Are you with me? I don't have time to get into John Mark. John Mark was, Paul said, I'm not going to take John Mark with me, for he's not profitable. He backslid. He got tired of the work. But God wasn't finished with John Mark. Because later on, Paul writes a little bit later, he said, take John Mark with you. because he'll be a blessing to your ministry. And by the way, John Mark went around, and before he died, he wrote the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark. Oh, let me tell you, God, that same Mark that backslid has one of the Gospels because God has the last word on backsliding. Amen? Yes, he does. And what about that prodigal son? Oh, let me tell you, he's in the hog pen. But listen, he said, what am I doing here? And a far away off, his father saw him. You know why? Because God's got the last word on backsliding. He said, there he is, guys. There he is. And before you kill him, I'm going to run out there and say, don't you touch my boy. I got the last word. I'm going to give him the fatted calf. I'm going to put on him a robe. I know he backslid, but I got a plan for his life. I'm going to get back and go back. Thank God for his presence, that he has the final word. What about you? What about me? Would you stand with me tonight? Do you want to go back that you can get back? And when I mean go back, you go back to the place that you lost it. You've backslid where you lost it, and where you are away from it, that's how much you've backslid. Are you with me? Let me tell you this, and then I'll ask you to play in just a minute. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't turn back. He restores the years that the cankerworm hath eaten. He cast all your sins behind his back. He will abundantly pardon. He will heal your backsliding. Years ago, the Crown Prince of India gave Queen Victoria the most precious thing that he had. He was a child prince, and he gave to the Queen of England the Coroner Diamond. You can Google it, the Coroner Diamond. The Coroner Diamond is the most famous diamond in all history. That it was 186 carats. A flawless diamond. Now, can you imagine a 186-carat diamond on your hand? Now, I love Darnell, but honey, I don't see that in our future. And as a crown prince, as a little boy, he gave her that coronet diamond. But years later, when he grew up, he went back to see his queen. And he went to the people. He said, I would like to re-give that coroner back to the queen. And they said, well, why do you want to do that? He said, I want to. He went and he told them, he said, and so he went before the queen, and he said to Queen Victoria, he said, here, I want to give this back to you one more time. Listen to this, and I'm closing. He said, when I gave this to you the first time, I didn't really understand what I was doing. I gave it to you with the heart and mind of a child. But now with the heart and mind of a man, I want to give it back to you one more with a deeper and fuller meaning of what I had the first time. And you know the best cure to backsliding is just to keep giving back to the King the diamond of your praise, the diamond of your faithfulness. Just keep. I got saved when I was 12, but you know what, Brother Jerry? I was a boy, but I'm a grown man today. And I want to give him one more time. My all. 14 times backsliding is mentioned in the scripture. The word backsliding. 14 times. Brother David, if you'll put up my main scripture again tonight. 14 times. But the last time that you read about backsliding, he said what, church? I will heal their backsliding. Would you turn around and tell somebody God has the final word on backsliding? Is anybody like the Crown Prince of India? Do you want to just give back the diamond of your praise? Do you just want to give back the diamond of your soul? Would you step out of your seat? Let's reclaim all that God has for us. And if you are still on fire for God, would you pray for some that have slid back? Would you pray for a friend or neighbor that maybe has turned aside quickly, that maybe has pulled back, that maybe Satan has been, they have been caught into the snare of the devil? Would you come tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord? We all deal deal with backsliding. We all deal with going back. But Lord, as the pastor preached this morning, we want to get back all that you have for us. We don't want to lose anything. Lord, I know that gray hair appears here and there. But oh God, help us to stay vigilant. Help us to stay into your presence. Oh God, we give the diamond of our love to you. We gave it to you years ago. But God, we give it back to you tonight. We renew a right spirit within us. Listen, as you're praying tonight, and maybe somebody's listening by live stream, if you have sinned, if you have failed the Lord, if you have committed a thing that has displeased the Word of God and the Word of the Lord, don't give up. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to give you wisdom that you don't do that again. Ask God to pardon you. He will restore the years. I know that years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But oh, when Jesus came on Calvary, He made all the difference. I want somebody to lift your hand here tonight and say, Lord, I'm in it to win it. I'm going all the way. I'm not going to let bitterness and hurt and disappointment. I'm not going to let all of that keep me back. I'm not going to backslide. I want to love you more today than I did last Sunday. I want to worship you more. I want to give you the diamond of my heart and of my soul. Oh, God, thank you that you use backsliders. Thank you, Lord, that you save the prodigals, God. Thank you, Lord, that you won't throw the clay away. You'll make it over again. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. Restoration. We claim our prodigals this Easter. We pray that Easter and these next few weeks in revival with Brother Craig and others, that we'll see backsliders. Can we pray that backsliders will be reclaimed? Can we ask God that those who used to sit on our pews, God, bring them back. We reclaim them tonight. Oh, we're not going to look behind. We're not going to look behind. We're going to look forward. We're going to look forward, oh God. My raptured soul, I give it back to you, God. Oh, thank you for what you did yesterday. We're going to get back all that the devil has stolen. All the years we've spent in doubt and unbelief. Oh God, thank you tonight. We reclaim the backslider tonight. God, you have the last word on backsliding. You will heal it. You will love us freely. Thank you for your grace. I'll sing it with them tonight. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you. God uses backsliders. God uses He said a smoking flax He would not quench. A bruised reed He would not break until He brings victory. You may be quenched tonight. You may not be a flame. You may be just a smoking, smoldering ember. But God's going to set the flame afire. Whoa.